The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there, Clan. We wanted to let you know that Care Of is the only place that we get our daily vitamins. It's fast, it's easy, and it's super convenient because it's all just a click away. So take advantage of this special offer. For 50% off, that's 50, your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, go to takecareof.com and enter OutlanderCast50. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz.
Sing me a song, the last that is gone. Say that last the eye. Bury the soul, she sailed on a day.
Going. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake. And boy, do I just love me some TV drama. Some TV drama. And not the drama kind that you're watching on Outlander.
Oh.
I mean like the business drama of it all.
See, you understand this a bit more. I don't. And I'm really happy to delve into this with you because when we interviewed herself, Diana Gabaldon, we told her about some drama going on with the network that's having her show. And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, girl, I'm confused too. This is some news. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Right. And a lot of, all right, first some background. For those of you who don't go to OutlanderCast.com often and you just listen to this podcast, first, go to OutlanderCast.com and check out all the amazing stuff that is there.
Yes.
Okay, number one. Number two, I wrote an article talking about Chris Albrecht, who is the CEO of Starz.
For how much longer?
Actually, wait, time out. Was the CEO of Starz. And what that will do and how that will affect Outlander.
Okay.
And it blew up.
the blog post blew up.
That article went everywhere. It actually helped set a record of daily views for our website.
So cool.
In the first day, within the first few hours, it had been read over 26,000 times.
Wow.
So I imagine that a lot of people read this article.
Yes. And so you might be listening being like, I already read this.
Right. But a lot of people haven't, that just listened to this podcast, probably have not read this article.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have actually written an email saying, hey, can you like explain this a little bit further?
Yeah.
And like, so I don't have to sit there on the toilet and read for 20 minutes. Because admittedly, it's a long article. So I felt like it was apropos to do a podcast episode about
it.
So that if you're driving and you just want to listen to it, you want to understand it a little bit more, so we can have a conversation about it.
But
why the heck not?
We're going to tell you this. It's not going to be the most lengthy conversation ever.
Okay? No, I mean, we can get super nerdy and we can make it really
long. Blake can make it super nerdy and super long. But I have
Mary has the tendency and the skill to just dumb it down.
Excuse me?
No, like
to
make it
more as Cliff Notes versions.
No, like to make it less nerdy and to make it like perfect for everybody to actually consume.
That's much nicer.
Oh, that's what I meant. Well, you didn't, you know, hey, I didn't need it in a defensive way.
All right.
All right, you ready to get into it?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
So in case you don't know who Chris Albrecht is, he was the CEO of Starz. That's the chief executive officer. He was a really, really, really big deal at Starz.
Yep.
He's no longer there, okay? And this is kind of a big deal, guys, that he's leaving his job. And there's a whole lot of things that you need to know that go into play about this. Okay, it's not just stars, but it's also Lionsgate, Disney, the stock market, you know, like Wall Street, those people, ding, 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 and Apple. Okay. And you're going to be like, what? That's so many people. I know. Okay, so right now,
there are big corporate forces at play.
We're just going to talk about Chris Albrecht for a little bit, okay? Good old Christopher, okay? Christopher went to Hofstra. And after Hofstra, what did he do, Blake?
Well, after Hofstra, he went to work for HBO.
Okay.
And at HBO, he worked up the ranks and he did his thing there. And what ended up happening was he ended up becoming the head of programming for HBO eventually.
Yeah.
And he actually helped usher in what is widely considered what's now referred to as the first golden age of television. And that first golden age of television was brought on because of him, because he approved shows like The Sopranos.
Big deal.
And Deadwood. Really big deal. Mm-hmm. The Wire.
Sex in the City.
You know, all
Band of Brothers.
All those shows.
Okay.
And
so he
countless
had a
more.
Hand in bringing those shows to HBO.
Right. Now, I would be remiss in light of today's world, mm-hmm. and in light of the culture that we're all a part of now, the Me Too culture. I would be remiss if I didn't mention to you that he was actually let go from HBO.
After 20 years,
in 2007, he was given his walk-in papers. And he was given his walk-in papers because he was arrested for having a domestic altercation with his then-girlfriend at mm-hmm. the time at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. I don't know all the details. I didn't look it up.
It was enough for HBO to say, you've been here for 20 years and what you did was not good.
Right.
You're done.
He embarrassed the
Goodbye.
Company, really. And he himself will say that he was battling alcohol and his own demons and everything and recovered.
So that was 2007.
That was in 2007.
Okay.
All right. So he did a couple of other things in the meantime. But in 2010, he was brought in to Stars.
Okay.
And
Not only was he brought into Stars,
he was made the CEO of Stars.
Yeah.
Stars had known his record, said it doesn't matter. Because remember, at the time, in 2010, we're not in the same culture as we are today.
I mean, it still is a big deal, but it's not Me Too being the hashtag what it is. And
right.
Stars was like probably saying, hopefully everyone forgot that. But remember that this is the guy that brought The Sopranos and Sex in the City and Band of Brothers. We want him.
Right. That's exactly what happened. And I will tell you this. The guy is very smart. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he has approved all of the stuff. But again, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention.
Correct.
Okay. So he becomes the CEO of Stars.
He's not an angel.
No. And he was tasked with dedicating 90 minutes of original programming to each week for Stars.
So Stars didn't do this before. They were just like your regular movie network
right.
that would just show stuff.
Right. So remember, all of this stuff, like all of these networks creating their own like content, like mm-hmm. HBO, this all really started in like the early 2000s.
Okay.
And I'm talking like HBO just began it. Right.
Yes.
Like they just started.
Yes.
And within that, you know, 6 to 7 year period, Chris Albrecht helped it take off. So Stars wanted to take advantage of that, and they wanted to start building their own programming.
Correct.
Up to this point, they were just showing movies. They
yeah.
had they made deals with other movie companies and said, we'll provide a platform for you
yeah.
to show your movies.
And if you tuned in and you were at the right moment, you would watch the movie that was on, or maybe you'd look forward to watching that movie at 8 o'clock on
right.
Friday.
You never know. It is what it is. Right. So he's the one who helped start Stars to start creating their own content.
Okay, cool.
In a big way. Like
yes.
they already done so a little bit, but everything that they had done failed. It,
yes.
And failed miserably in comparison to what they did at HBO.
But then underneath him, things like Power, Counterpart, Outlander,
yep.
Black Sails, American Gods, White Princess came to be.
Yeah, in countless other shows. I
yeah.
mean, the guy, again, he approved some pretty interesting and eclectic and successful programming. I mean, he made Outlander.
Well,
he didn't make it,
about,
but
yeah,
he brought
like, let's
in
talk
Outlander.
About why he's a big deal for Outlander.
All right, so he was brought in, And he's a big deal for Outlander because Outlander in 2010 and in 2011, in those development years, this was right after Ron Moore had let go of his show called Carnivale on HBO. They had just canceled it. Ron Moore was running around and trying to find a way to adapt Outlander. Ron Moore, right at this time, and even currently, had a partnership with Sony to develop television shows. So Ron Moore was partnering with Sony to make Outlander happen. They needed a place to bring it. So they went around to all these different platforms, HBO, Showtime, maybe even places like Stars, even. And they went around, they were saying, listen, we want to make the show. It's about these books. Here are the books for you to read. Just take them, read them. Let me know if you like the story. And we want to make it like this. We want to make it as close to the book as possible. Well, when they go around and they see everybody at HBO and Showtime and all the other places, they were like, yeah, this is great, but we don't want to make it like that because we think the show would be better if we did it our way, if we made things a little bit more streamlined for television. And, you know, those books, you read them. We're not going to worry
about
it.
Those are too big.
We got more. But listen, we're busy in producing friggin' Game of Thrones, okay? Like, we're not going to read the books. So you take care of it, but we want it done this way. Ron Moore obviously was very disappointed in this. He brought it to Stars, and I'm sure he had the same kind of meeting with Chris Albrecht. But Albrecht was the only executive, as we were told by Merrill Davis, by the way, when we interviewed her way back when. Mm-hmm. Albrecht was the only guy to read the books. And Albrecht was the only guy to say, that's awesome. Make it that way. I want you to make it this way. Don't change it. You know, change the things that you feel are necessary for television, but don't change it.
But this is awesome.
Make it this way. This is awesome. I want that on my network. And that's why he's such a big deal, because he is the one that gave us Outlander in the form that we know today.
He got it.
Without him, yeah, he got it. He understood.
Yes.
Like, these are the characters. These are the things that Diana wrote. He got what Diana was writing, and he read the books. He read them.
Yes.
And he read all of them.
Yes.
And he made it happen. So without him, Outlander doesn't happen today. And really, Stars doesn't really happen the way that we know it today.
Correct. Okay.
Because he's the one who built it the way that it is, with all the eclectic programming, but he also built out this really cool thing in the Stars On Demand app.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
He's the one who commissioned it, and he's the one who made it.
Who lets me watch Outlander on my iPad at midnight.
Right, because remember, at 2010, nobody really had these apps.
No, exactly.
This is a relatively recent thing. So he was the one who commissioned it for Stars.
Awesome. I'm down. Okay, yeah. So this app and Stars and all the streaming and having your own content, super duper good. But, okay, so why is he leaving if, like, everything's working out?
Okay, so here's the deal. Stars was its own separate company, right, up for many years, up until 2016.
Okay.
When it was purchased by this company called Lionsgate. Now, Lionsgate is this big movie production company.
They made Twilight.
They made Twilight. They made The Hunger Games. They made La La Land. They even make Orange is the New Black. They
okay. They
partner with Netflix to make that happen. They even made Mad Men, which is widely considered one of the greatest television shows ever made, right? So here's how it worked for Lionsgate, right?
Wait, Lionsgate made Mad Men?
Yes, they partnered with AMC to make Mad Men.
Okay.
So Lionsgate had this deal where they had all of these, like, this huge catalog of films, like 13,000 films. And it owned all of these films, but it didn't have a place to, like, put them. It didn't have a place to showcase them all the time whenever they wanted.
Yeah.
So they bought Stars. They bought it. And they said, Stars already has all these subscribers. They already has their own on-demand app, the one that Chris Albrecht helped make.
Mm-hmm.
And it already has this large large library of content. So we're going to buy all that content. We're going to buy the network, and we're going to have a place to just showcase our stuff all the time. Okay?
Okay.
And that worked because, again, Stars provided the infrastructure, and Lionsgate provided all the money for Stars to help grow its own company.
Beautiful.
And make some more original content.
A nice symbiotic relationship.
It really was. And it even worked for Albrecht because he was still the CEO of Starz. He still ran it. He was the man. The only guy he had to answer to was the Lionsgate CEO. Now, you should get to know this name very, very quickly because it's very important. The Lionsgate CEO is John Feltheimer.
So do we need to start tweeting him and saying, keep Outlander forever?
Abso-friggin-lutely.
Okay. What's his name again?
John Feltheimer.
That's a name.
I know. This guy was in charge of Lionsgate. And
I'm going to find him right now.
Indirectly, now, Starz. But, see, Chris Albrecht was still running it himself. And now you ask me, why is he out? Why is Chris Albrecht out? All right. Lionsgate actually spent $4.4
billion. Well, he gets $14.4 million every year.
Yes, he does.
Good for you, buddy.
John Feltheimer. Okay, let me restate this. $4.4 billion. Okay, $1 billion in cash and stock, right?
Yeah.
And they could do that because they made a crap ton of money from Twilight and Starz and all these other things. The problem, though, is that since Twilight and, not Starz, The Hunger Games, since those two films, those two franchises, their movies haven't necessarily tanked. Because, you know, La La Land, you know. But they just haven't made the same kind of money. And they got a little messed up because they stopped making the gobs of money that it was needed to support a kind of purchase like $4.4 billion.
Yikes.
As a result of like their movies like Robin Hood, the one that just came out, the one with Taron Egerton Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
That movie tanked.
Well, and they spent, I could have told you that.
And they spent tons of money on it. I mean,
looked stupid.
Right. And these are the kind of movies that they've been putting out lately. So here's the problem. This is a publicly traded company. So in response to all this money loss, and they started posting all these like millions of dollars worth of like losses each quarter, their investors panicked, its stock tanked, and the company itself was actually forced to lay off all of these employees. And Starz, in the meantime, was actually providing 75% of its revenue, like Lionsgate's revenue. Like, in other words, Starz was making 75% of the money.
Starz was wearing the pants.
They were wearing the pants. They were the only company that Lionsgate owns.
Lionsgate came in and they were like, oh, we're such a big deal. We're amazing. We have like 13 bajillion movies. We're so cool. And then they came in with like Robin Hood and Starz is like,
wait, what?
I married a man child. What is going on here?
Right. And with all that said, you would think that they would appreciate Starz and be like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Let him keep doing what he's doing. He's actually keeping Lionsgate afloat.
No, because Lionsgate is a man child. Right. He thinks he's still a man. He can't cook. Can't do his own dang clothes. Okay? Can't even fold a fitted sheet.
Okay, why are you describing me? Not great, Bob.
Okay. So right. Lionsgate equals man child.
Right. And
Starz is wearing the pants and bringing home the bacon.
Yes. So here's the problem. You're going to see a whole bunch of different stuff about Chris Albrecht and how it was a mutual decision and he was moving on.
It's like when you mutually break up, or really that just means you were dumped.
Right. Exactly.
We all know that. Oh, we decided mutually it was time to break up. No. No.
No, it was my decision. Sorry.
Seriously.
You're out. And the same can be kind of applied to this, because Albrecht, here is what it comes down to, was pushed out. And he was pushed out because, and this was written in The Hollywood Reporter, John Feltheimer is believed to have been frustrated with Chris Albrecht's reluctance to cede precious few hours of original programming and realize the benefits of merging its production entities, or at the very least, prioritizing Lionsgate fare, as he has Starz Productions, in a bid for increased ownership. In other words, let me put it this way. Neither of them could agree how much they would share the broadcast space between original Starz content like Outlander and Lionsgate content.
Oh my God,
shows.
Blended families.
Right.
Okay, it's a little tricky.
It's like a very bad version of the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, it's like, where are we going for Christmas Eve? We have so many kids, and we're married, and they have kids. I don't know what to do, buddy. I would like to see my family on Christmas Eve. Well, I want to see my family. Well, I wear the pants. Well, I'm the man child.
So Albrecht is saying, listen, I'm in charge of this.
I'm the man child.
Well, no, Albrecht is
not
the man child.
I wear the pants.
I wear the pants. And Feldheimer is saying, what?
I'm the man child.
You're going to do what I want.
But you're going to do what I want because I'm the man child.
Right. And the problem is, for Albrecht, that Feldheimer is actually the guy that's really in charge. He's the boss. And Feldheimer had this thing where he was losing all this money. He just spent all the money to acquire Starz, and he had this conundrum. How do I keep Lionsgate's money in check and make it so that we're not losing millions of dollars, laying off employees, worrying our investors, but also promote his own content and keep growing Starz to make sure that that company, Starz, is like a better investment, get better return on his own investment, right? How does he do all that? Well, he wants to take control of it.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because he wants to make sure that that's mine. I'm going to do what I want it to do.
Yes.
So he had to get rid of his biggest roadblock. And what was his biggest roadblock?
Starz.
Chris friggin' Albrecht.
Oh.
So on February 1st, Feldheimer, even though it's been stated that this was a mutual
breakup. We all know what that means.
Feldheimer issued Starz CEO Chris Albrecht his walking papers. Again. He gave him the pink slip and said, time to take a hike. And what ends up happening is that Feldheimer is directly now in charge of Starz. This should worry a lot of Outlander
fans. Does this guy have any class? Has he picked up any good shows?
Well, Feldheimer's actually a pretty smart guy. He actually worked for Sony Pictures for a long time.
What has he done?
Well, he helped make those movies like The Hunger Games and Twilight and La La Land, Mad Men. He's helped do all of that stuff.
Okay. Listen, the emotional complexity of Hunger Games and Twilight does not come close to Outlander.
No, it does not. And this is why, listen, I'm not going to say that John Feldheimer doesn't get good television. I'm sure that he does. And I'm sure he knows how to make good films. And that isn't necessarily problematic for the Outlander fans.
Okay.
What's problematic for the Outlander fans is that Chris Albrecht is leaving. And as of right now, I think he's probably already out, if not out within the next week.
I hope he's on a great vacation.
I hope he gets a golden parachute like
none
other.
Well, I don't want him to have a golden parachute because he beat up his girlfriend.
Oh, valid point.
Listen, I just want him to have a vacation, though, so he can go cry.
Think about the man he wants to be.
Think about the Outlander he wished to make.
Well, he made the Outlander that we all know and love, so I have to give him credit for that.
Yes, I agree.
All right. But here is what is the problem for Outlander fans and why Chris Albrecht leaving is a big deal. So the fact that Feldheimer has done this, it's going to, I think, signify a shift in how Starz and indirectly Lionsgate will do business in the future. Meaning, their idea is to own their own IP or intellectual property. It's to own their own stuff. Meaning, I want to take a show and I want to produce it. And I want to be in charge of it. Right? And I want to own it. Because here's the thing. Starz does not own Outlander. Sony does, right? So for Starz, because remember, Ron Moore partnered with Sony to make Outlander. Sony owns all the rights to Outlander. So in order for Outlander to be on Starz, Starz has to pay fees to Sony in order to put it on their network.
Yes.
Okay. What all these companies like Netflix and Amazon and HBO have all discovered, especially because of the success of Netflix and Amazon, is that you make the most amount of money from your shows when you own it.
Yes.
You don't have
no middlemen.
There's no middlemen, right? There's no middlemen.
Cut the fat.
Cut the fat. Get it out. And like, there are still shows that have partnerships and whatever.
Right now, Sony is the fat.
Right. In terms of Lionsgate.
Correct.
Right. In Lionsgate's eyes, they don't want to deal with Sony anymore. Well, they don't want to deal with anybody. It's not just Sony. It's just everybody.
They just want to make their own stuff and make the most money.
And that makes sense because that will garner the most amount of money. Correct. And that will help save the company. But you Outlander fans are probably sitting there saying, wait, hold on. Time out. Outlander's very popular. It's bringing in all of these subscribers.
Yeah.
For most of you out there, I bet you're probably saying, if Outlander doesn't stay on Stars,
there's no reason.
Then I'm not going to have Stars. I'm not going to keep watching it. And that makes sense. But there's only so few million of us. And really, it's probably only about 1.5 million people that are watching Outlander on a consistent basis. If that. Maybe 1.2 million people. And Outlander's not even the most popular show on Stars. Power is. Mm-hmm. Right? So, but you're saying, I'm the one who is the subscriber. There are all these subscribers to Stars because of Outlander. How is Stars going to make money without the subscribers? Well, the thing is, Lionsgate, who owns Stars, as we've already talked about, they're not worried about acquiring more subscribers. They're not even really worried about losing subscribers at the rate that you think they probably would lose them. And the reason why they don't want to worry about it is because they already make a ton of money, a ton of revenue on their own. What they want to do is they want to streamline that evil word,
yeah.
Streamline,
yeah.
And cut their costs. So they're hoping to cut their costs and get rid of television shows that they're partnering with so they make more money when they produce their own shows.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. And we're going to take a quick break to tell you a little bit about today's sponsor. Winter is no longer coming. Spring is, my friend. So it's time to spring into a healthy routine that's going to empower you to feel your best. Well, Karo's online quiz lets you know exactly what you need for your diet, health goals, lifestyle choices, and it only takes 5 minutes to find out your personal scientifically based vitamin and supplement recommendations. Getting your vitamins should be easy and convenient, right, guys? Life is crazy and busy. Let's get healthy in an easier way. Because, you know, it can be hard to know which vitamins or supplements you should be taking, but Karo makes it really easy to find out. And they also have these packs customized to your recommendations and sent to you. So you can experience the Care of difference. But here's what's even better. A portion of every sale goes towards the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. So you guys know I'm all about spreading the love to fellow mamas out there. So you know you're taking care of you. You know that you got the right stuff. You're being healthy for the spring. And some little mama-to-be is going to be blessed with some good prenatal vitamins that they desperately need.
And I know when I took the quiz, it took 5 minutes. I loved it. I loved it because it was easy. I did it on my phone. Boom, 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 done. They asked me what are the things I wanted to work on. It was like stress and my headaches. And they gave me all the stuff that I needed to make sure that I was going to be able to work on those. So, if you want to make sure, you can do that too. Go to takecareof.com and enter the code OutlanderCast50 to get 50% off of your first month of Care of vitamins sent to your house. Trust me, it's the best thing you'll ever do.
It makes you feel
healthy.
Okay, so I'm going to need to feel healthy because I'm starting to get some palpitations.
Okay.
What's going to happen to Outlander after season 6? And let's kind of like fasten this up. I'm starting to get bored.
All right, so we all know that Outlander has been renewed for seasons 5 and 6. It's going to happen.
We're here.
And what I'm trying to tell you before all of this is I think Outlander is going to happen in seasons 5 and 6.
Yes.
Obviously, it's going to happen in season 5. And I think more than likely it will happen in season 6.
Agreed.
After season 6,
it's the grand unknown, okay?
It's a problem because these guys, Lionsgate, are in the business
of cutting the fat.
Cutting the fat, make their own money, save their own network, and do that by creating their own shows.
Yes.
And they're going to start cutting fat. And you've already started to see it, as a matter of fact. You've seen it in the show Counterpart.
Okay.
Counterpart is another show that was just recently on Stars. It was a great show. If you haven't watched it yet, go watch it. J.K. Simmons is phenomenal.
I haven't watched it.
I know you haven't. We're gonna have to amend that very quickly. It's a phenomenal show.
But it was canceled.
Because Stars doesn't own it. And it didn't have the same kind of viewership that Outlander does. But it's just as expensive as Outlander because it was shot in Germany. It was shot in Berlin. And it had all these stars in it. It was an expensive show to create. So Feldheimer said, I don't think so. This show is out because I'm spending way too much money on the production itself. I'm spending way too much money on sending fees over to the company that actually owns it. It's out.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, Outlander fans shouldn't necessarily worry about it because they have their own, you know, huge fandom. It is what it is. But the problem with after season six, Stars is technically not, you know, contracted to keep it going. And since we all know that Lionsgate is wanting to create its own IP and maximize its profits, I don't think that it's going to get renewed after season six.
Oh my gosh.
Now, you could make a case that after season five, it could get canceled. It could. But I don't think that it will. And I don't think that it will because Lionsgate needs to make sure it does retain their subscribers. You know, in a big way, in a big macro way, including Outlander, because they need to make sure that they look good. They need to make sure that they have all of these assets and that they're making a ton of money.
You said they're going to cancel Outlander.
After season six. And there's an argument to be made that they could cancel it before season six, but I don't think that they will. And I don't think that they will because they're making an effort to make themselves look really good and valuable. Like they have a lot of subscribers, they have a lot of people watching it, and they're going to be making a ton of money. Now, why would they want to do this? Now, my love, when I wrote this article, you gave me the best idea.
You're welcome.
The best idea was to, again, make it consumable for everybody else. Why does Lionsgate want to make themselves look really pretty? Why do they want them to make themselves look really valuable? And you said what, my darling?
It's like Rose from Titanic.
Right. Now, I want you to explain this.
Okay. So do you remember Titanic? Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio. But we have Rose who is on the boat with her mom and her mom's like, listen, we don't have any more money. Perk up your bubbies and just get on out there and you need to be the most beautiful woman because we want that dark-haired guy who's a jerk.
Cal Hockley.
We want Cal, you know, he's going to propose to you and he needs to save us because we don't have any money. So we need to fake it, girlfriend. Perk up the bubbies. Fake it till you make it. Get on out there. Put on the perfume and do what you got to do because we need to marry Cal because we are running out of money. And Cal, we don't want him to know that we're poor. Get on out there. Do your thing.
Right. So Lionsgate is essentially Rose.
Okay, she's perking up her bubbies,
and
she's trying to pretend she's got a lot of money, but we all know she's a man-child.
And Outlander is our collective Jack Dawson, okay? He's our Leo.
Oh my God, never let go.
Never let go. The problem is we got Cal to worry about.
He's totally like the Leo down under the decks dancing, and we're spinning mm-hmm. and smiling, saying, this is the best ever.
Mm-hmm. And the problem is Outlander after season six is going to fall to the deep, icy depths of the Atlantic.
So Blake thinks.
So I think.
Because Lionsgate isn't making money, that much money off of Outlander.
Right.
And it needs to make money by getting its own original content. I don't understand why we need it to be looking like it needs money, though. Why does it need to perk up its bubbies? Who is it trying to, you know, look desirable.
Who's the Cal in all of
yes.
this?
Okay. Yes.
The Cal in all of this? Now, I've chosen this particular Cal. It could be any amount of Cals, but the one that makes real sense.
The suitor. The rich suitor.
The rich suitor that we all should be looking towards is Apple.
But I see I like Apple, so Apple's not the villain.
Apple's not the villain. They're the ones that Lionsgate's perking up the bubbies for.
So Lionsgate's saying, hey, Apple, you got lots of money.
Right. And they're doing that because Lionsgate isn't making enough money itself to stand by its own. And they need someone to come in and take care of it. They need someone to make the money. They need someone to take care of them.
Apple's going to say it's what happens when you make Twilight movies.
Now, why is Apple in any of these conversations? I mean, we're talking Apple, the people that you're probably listening to on your phone right now. You are probably on the Apple Podcasts app right now listening to this. Why are they even involved? Because Steve Jobs died. That's what it really comes down
R.I.P.
to. Steve Jobs, as we all know, was the guy who founded Apple back in the late 70s and made it become what it is today. Now, we could talk about Apple for hours and we can go on and on. We're not here for that.
Nope.
But Steve Jobs in 2011 or 2012 died. And he left the company in charge of this guy named Tim Cook, who is now the new CEO of Apple. And he's been doing a relatively good job under his tenure.
He's no Steve Jobs, but okay.
He is no Steve Jobs. But under his tenure, Apple has become the most wealthy company in American history. Like, ever. It is the most wealthy company in American history. So, I get it, right? The problem with Tim Cook is that he's not Steve Jobs. He's not innovating. He's not creating the iPhone. He's not creating the iPad. He's just kind of giving you variations of all the stuff that Steve Jobs created.
He's like, I have an idea, the iPhone 10.
Right. And Apple has so much money. They have $285 billion in cash. $285 billion in cash. Never mind their assets. Never mind all that. Just cash.
Why don't they just fill in our debt?
They could.
Yeah.
They could, but why should they? They shouldn't.
Because that'd be a really nice thing to do.
Yes, I know. But Tim Cook is being charged with not blazing new pathways of innovation like Steve Jobs did, and he has all of this money, and he's not innovating. So
it's boring.
Tim Cook has decided, we're going to take Apple in a different direction.
Okay.
We're going to start making Apple more about software and services than hardware, like your computer or your iPhone or your Apple Watch, right? Tim Cook made the Apple Watch, but it didn't redefine technology as we know it.
No.
It's a nice accessory.
Yes.
But it's not the main thing. And part of what he is doing is he has commissioned a whole new wing of Apple to start making their own scripted content.
Oh, so he's like, Apple, you know, be wicked cool if we became like Netflix.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is not innovative, Tim Cook.
No.
Everybody's doing that.
No, it's not, but there's tons of money to be made in it.
Well, and they have lots of money.
And they have paid up to $1 billion on their talent, including a showrunner you know very well, Ron Moore.
I love him.
Ron Moore is starting to develop a television show for Apple. It's incredible. And you would think that Apple, with its seemingly endless resources, the iPhone and everything, wouldn't need a thing like Lionsgate, which inherently means stars. The problem is that they don't have their own on-demand app, oddly enough. And they don't have a TV channel to put all of their stuff on. They have like iTunes. They have that kind of stuff, but they can't get into people's TVs. They have the Apple TV, but that's only
they
like
can make it though. They're Apple people,
right? But why make it when you can acquire it?
Oh my God! So Lionsgate has a really nice dowry.
Exactly.
Okay.
And
Lionsgate's dowry is the app that we watch Outlander on at midnight.
And Lionsgate is already a big player in Hollywood. It has all these partnerships.
Has all the Twilights.
And Apple wants to take advantage of that. It already has the inroads.
Okay.
So why not buy it, right?
So Apple's saying, you know, rather than have to waste some brain power, I'll just take what you got.
I'll buy it. And it's not. This isn't just for Lionsgate. They've done this their entire corporate history. The latest one was Beats. You know those AirPods that you listen to?
Yeah.
That you listen on? That was proprietary information created by Beats. The Beats, the headphones.
Yeah,
the big
ones.
They bought it. They bought Beats from Dr. Dre.
Apple bought Beats?
Right. And they've done this their entire corporate history, and they make these small things. Like, some people would say, why doesn't Apple just go buy Netflix? Well, because Netflix is worth $40 billion, whereas Lionsgate, as we all know, at the very least, is probably worth between $5 and $10 billion.
Okay.
So they're going to buy Lionsgate with those inroads.
So here's a question.
Yes.
If Outlander has tons, I mean, if Apple has lots of money and they're hooking up with Ron Moore, why doesn't Ron Moore go and say, hey, why don't you guys have Outlander season 7?
That's because they would have to buy Apple. It from Sony.
Oh. Well, they have enough money.
They do have enough money. And is it possible that Apple or Lionsgate acquires Outlander from Sony? Absolutely.
Why not?
But they don't want to invest that kind of money in Outlander because it's already been around for 4 seasons. The story, as they know it, is coming to a close, as they know it. And the viewership is only between 1.2 and 1.5 million. Now, if this was Game of Thrones, or if this was The Walking Dead in its prime, you're talking 17, 18, 20 million people are watching this show at a time, then yes,
yeah,
it's worth buying. But it wouldn't be for sale because they would have that many viewers. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so they're in this problem of like, what do we do? What, like, why would anybody buy Outlander if it only has a short viewership? They have to pay a ton of money to Sony, and they have this problem of it being on Stars or Apple. It just doesn't make sense. They're going to invest in their own content. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Apple potentially will buy Lionsgate. So what is this? What does this all mean from here? The problem is this. Whether or not Apple buys Lionsgate or not, the future does not look bright for Outlander beyond season 6, or really any show that is not owned by Lionsgate, for that matter. I mean, the company is still beholden to the almighty dollar, and it just doesn't have enough of their own dollars, right, to keep a show like Outlander going beyond its pre-established term. I mean, the irony of a company like Apple buying Lionsgate,
yeah,
is that we could actually end up getting more content from Ron Moore, right? Because I predict if Apple buys Lionsgate, I predict that Ron Moore will be bought out of his contract from Sony so that he can make more content specifically for Apple.
Yeah, I would believe that.
And we could end up getting more Ron Moore content, just not Ron Moore Outlander content, right? Mm-hmm. So I know it doesn't sound good. I know it's not fun to talk about. But I just think that after season 6, this show is probably not going to be renewed. And here's another thing, too.
What?
This isn't me just throwing all this stuff around, you know, for the fun of it. Because John Feltheimer, the guy that's the head of Lionsgate,
yep,
he put his boy, his COO of Lionsgate, in charge of Stars. And his name is Jeff Hirsch.
Okay.
Do you know what Hirsch just said today, as we record this, March 4th? He said that starting this summer, we're going to start prioritizing more Lionsgate content to be on Stars.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at this as a partnership. And all of the Lionsgate content, shows like Stephenie Meyer's The Rook and The Continental, which is like a spinoff of the John Wick franchise. And he has at least 8 to 9 more shows that are owned by Lionsgate coming to Stars.
Yeah, it makes sense.
In the summer. It does make sense. You want to know what the problem is?
What?
All of those shows, they have to have slots. They have to have a place to live. And they have to show them. Mm-hmm. And the stuff that's already on Stars right now is going to go.
Yep.
In favor of all the Lionsgate content. Now, this isn't me making this up. This is fact, not opinion. This is happening right now. And he announced it. Look it up on The Hollywood Reporter. He announced it today that starting in the summer, between 8 and 9 shows are going to be coming on Stars that are owned specifically by Lionsgate. So It's food for thought. It is what it is. And that's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So does that help clear up the relationships between all of these people and what's happening at Lionsgate, my darling?
It does.
I think so, too. Are you ready to close this bad boy out?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you so much for taking a listen to this week's this current episode. We want to thank all of the Outlander Cast staff keeping you busy and keeping content full on OutlanderCast.com.
Yes, go to OutlanderCast.com, check it out. Now listen, I'm not trying to be, you know, a naysayer, a doomsday sayer here. I'm really not. We're going to have at least two more seasons of Outlander, about which I am very happy, by the way. I'm very happy that we're going to have two more seasons of Outlander. It's going to be Jamie and Claire for at least 2 to 3 more years in my life. And I'm very, very happy about that. And for the next 2 to 3 years, you can get good content at OutlanderCast.com and check out all of the amazing things that we have there, including some fantastic posts. Not only about Chris Albrecht, but about scotch and whiskey and baking and the behind-the-scenes stuff of Outlander and all the commentary and all the episode recaps, everything, and all of our previous interviews, as well as episodes of Outlander Cast, the podcast. But one of the things that I really want you to do, I mean, aside from going to OutlanderCast.com, is actually tell a friend that this podcast exists. If you find that this episode in particular, as a matter of fact, gave you some value and gave you insight into the business of television and all of the goings-on between Starz and Sony and Lionsgate and potentially Apple, and you may have heard this stuff, but it's not really clear, and your friend's talking about it, tell a friend about this episode. Be like, hey, man, listen to this. These two people in their basement cleared it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they told me all about it. It makes sense. Tell a friend that
hopefully.
We exist. Oh, yeah, hopefully. if this episode sucked, I'm sorry. But tell a friend that this show exists, because podcasts are always best spread by word of mouth.
That's right. Well, we want to thank CorgiGirl2010 on iTunes, who said, this is not a normal podcast. This is a group of friends sitting down and discussing their favorite show. Mary and Blake are so friendly and accommodating. They make everyone feel special. They are funny and entertaining. Come for the show insights. Stay for the moments when Mary makes Blake laugh so hard that he can't breathe.
That's true.
Those are my favorite moments, and I can't help but laugh along. Want to hang out? Click follow. Welcome, friend. Well, thank you, Amanda, and thank you to everybody else who has taken the time to leave us a review in iTunes. We want to especially thank all of our patrons at OutlanderCastClan.com. Especially our most generous patrons, our associate producers, Angie, Carolyn, Celine, Cheryl, Dawn, Diane, Heather, Jeffrey, Jennifer, Larissa, Lauren, Linda, Marilyn, Mary, Michelle, Matricia, Siobhan, Summer, and Valerie, as well as our co-producers, Barbara, Carolyn, Christina, Data, Dieta, Janet, Jenny, Kathy, Keelan, Lisa, Liz, Marianne, Meredith, Rainel, Rita, Sharon, Sue, Tara, and Tina, and last but not least, our executive producers, Anne, Bobby, Jen, Katie, Kirsty, Martha, Nadra, Peg, and Sarah.
Thank you guys so much. Make sure you go to OutlanderCastClan.com where you can get all of our latest stuff, all of our latest insider stuff that is specifically for that group over there, like our After Dark podcasts and everything, even including Blake's Book Club and our newly announced Hamilton podcast. It'll only be for those patrons over at OutlanderCastClan.com, which will be coming out hopefully relatively soon. That's where we're at least hoping. And in the meantime, you can also go to MaryandBlake.com, check out all of our podcasts that we have there, including This Is Us 2. It's a show about This Is Us on NBC, and a newly announced podcast called The North Remembers, which we're very excited about.
We're taking a vacation
to Westeros for six days. I'm so excited about it. I'm sweating thinking about it.
Oh, well, until next time, folks, my name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.